Okay. All right. So here we are on our monthly live call-in show with my soul sister, dear friend, gifted and talented psychic channel and healer, Joni Eisinger. Welcome, Joni. How are you doing tonight?
I'm fine. How are you, Michelle?
I'm really good. Super busy with great stuff happening.
Yeah, same. That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
So we have a couple of people on the line tonight waiting, but I want to just ask you right now, what's your overall feeling of what's been going on? Is there anything particular that we need to know that's come to you or
what I believe?
Yeah.
I believe that truth is coming out about a lot of things that have been held from us for hundreds of thousands of years. So I believe that a lot of stuff is hitting the fan, and it's perfect. So if people are in a state of discontent or fear, just hang on, because all of this has to come up to the surface. It has to be revealed in order for there to be an awakening of humanity. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are very, very upset, and they're feeling in crisis, or they're feeling like this is a hell planet, or why did I incarnate here? I want to be somewhere else. But actually, we all chose to be here, to incarnate at this time in order to be here for the shift.
You know, that the Parkland shootings had a lot to do with this unrest that's going on. And a lot of my clients are complaining that they feel, they're not using the word stuck, but they're just like, I can't get myself out of just, I know what I'm supposed to do. I just can't get out of this way of thinking. Is that part of it?
When you mean way of thinking, how are they thinking?
Not trusting.
They need to trust that this is all unfolding as planned, and it's perfection. Do you see? I'm not going to get into, on the air, I'm not as you might be figuring out, I'm not going to get into my beliefs on the air. And they're not political. So all I can say from my point is that this is perfect, and that people should watch things unfold and have faith and pray and know that God, Spirit, Creator, whatever you want to call your higher power, is very aware of everything that's going on, and we have not been forsaken. So it might seem cryptic, but I just choose not to share the nitty-gritty of what I believe. So I do not have any fear. I'm very excited. And I can't wait.
Okay. Well, with that being said, if there's anyone on the call who would like to receive a gift of healing and insight and guidance from Joni, all you have to do is press *2 to raise your hand. Okay. Okay. We do have someone raising their hand here, and I'm going to unmute you, and you're the last four digits of 3533 from Berlin, New Hampshire. You are on the air. Hello.
Hi, Michelle. Hi, Joni. It's Donna.
Hi, Donna.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. What can I do for you?
Well, that's funny because I should, you know, that's an automatic thing of saying good because I'm not good.
it's automatic. People, when I speak with them,
I know.
Well, let's just get past the niceties. How are you? And what's up?
So I just, a couple things. I had a session with you in October.
Okay.
And it was really cool. And you suggested me to read The Divine Guidance by Doreen Virtue.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally picked it up a few weeks ago because I physically have to not do anything right now. So it was, I've been saying for months that I wanted to be left alone and have some time off. And
and the universe kind of put you there and now you can't?
Yep. So
physically?
Yeah, I've blown some discs in my back.
Okay, I'm sorry to hear that. Okay, that's the universe that put you to a stop. Okay.
Oh, yes, it sure did. And it's pretty funny because I remember saying it to Michelle and to my massage therapist and somebody at work, like, oh, I just need to be alone, need time off. I've been saying this for over a year, blah, blah, blah. And boom, it happens.
Universe and heard you.
And it's been good for me. And this book.
I told you you needed to be more specific.
So I was hesitant to pick up this book because I'm one of those Catholics that, you know, the whole religion thing and block it off and went to Catholic school and stuff. And, you know, made myself get over myself and start reading it. And I'm really enjoying it and getting rid of the whole God word and the he thing, which I didn't think I'd be able to do with her. So I just want to thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. I love that. It concretized things. It solidified things and broke it down.
Yeah, it really does.
You know, could I just interrupt because there might be listeners that aren't aware of the contents in the book?
Sure.
I'll just say, like, in a few sentences, Doreen Virtue is an author, and she wrote a book called Divine Guidance, and she breaks down the four clairs, clairaudience, which is divine hearing, clairvoyance, which is divine seeing, clairsentience, divine feeling, and claircognizance, which is divine knowing. And she helps a person be able to discern the difference between their own thoughts, their own voices in their head versus voices from the other side. So go ahead, Donna, keep it going.
So it's been a really good book to read, and you kind of said something at the beginning of tonight, which was something I had a question on, because on this certain page in here, it talks about think a moment about who your parents are and ask yourself why you would have chosen them in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And my question seems to be, the more soul work I do and spirituality I do, is what is my lesson in this lifetime? What is my purpose?
So you first mentioned, you mentioned your parents. So do you want to know why your parents, what the lesson is with your parents, or generally what your soul purpose, what you were here to learn generally?
Yeah,
see, there
I
are
think
a few
so.
Things
I mean,
that you mentioned your parents, you mentioned purpose, and you mentioned life lessons, which is different from purpose.
So
what
I
do you
think
want to know?
I think I'm more interested in my life lessons.
Mm. Okay. Generally.
Yeah.
Okay. There are different lifetimes where you're a little bit, whether it's moody, messy and disorganized, or calculating. So you weren't centered in moderate. You were either too precise or too messy, disorganized. And in this lifetime, the word prudence comes up. You're to be more prudent. It's more discerning, and it's more taking a look at things that come your way and deciding which way they go. I almost see like a factory where there's a conveyor belt, and you've got like, maybe like recycling things that are coming up on the conveyor belt, and you're batting the bottles to the right and the cans to the left. Bottles to the right, cans to the left. And maybe if some newspaper comes up, that gets shot up a tube. You know, whatever it is, that there's it's being more thoughtful, peaceful, and intelligently making decisions that are for your highest good without being rash. And they're using the word stingy. That's not a judgment, like withholding or too overgiving and giving away too much of yourself. Does any of that make sense?
Oh, very much so, especially the giving away of too much of myself.
Uh-huh. So the word prudence, or to look up the word being prudent, or look up the word prudence, they're good words for you to understand. And also, you know, that it gets into the word discerning and discernment. Being thoughtful, being moderate. And it's about you. It's not about thoughtful of another. It's all about you being prudent so you are okay, thoughtful so you are okay. And then when you come first and you're level, then you can then be there for others better. That's
cool.
What this life is about.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You did mention your parents. Would you like to know why are they both alive?
My father is not. My mother is.
Okay. Would you like to know why they were, even though one is not around, but basically why your parents were or in your life, why you chose them?
I would love to know that.
Okay. So let's do mom first.
That would be good.
Was she wound up a little tight?
Yeah, like a string on like a little top. Yes, like a top.
Mm-hmm.
She still is.
Yeah. And there's a little bit of scolding, but it's not much. It's kind of like, I don't see her like going off and blasting you. I just see like a few barbs and then that's enough to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
She right? She gives a good sting, but she doesn't give a long speech.
When we were growing up, we called her Attila the Hun.
That could be wreckage, but I don't see her going off and screaming like a banshee. Did she do that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's interesting. So I want to see why I'm not getting that. I'm seeing, when I look at her, when I go in, I get like the zing. Zing. But I don't see going off. That's very, very interesting. Either she's cloaking herself. She might be cloaking because I get these mini burps, unless the zing is just an absolute tornado and then it would stop and then there'd be peace and you'd look around the room and then there's just the wreckage. Like, what the hell just happened? Is that possible?
Yeah.
Like nothing happened?
No, I think I got more the zing and my three sisters got the outburst.
Okay, there you go. So you got the zing and they got the outburst because I'm focusing on you. There we go. So I got that right. So the zing was with you. So, okay. So now I'm going to go in and find out what the life lesson is. The opportunity. Let's see. She was all about control. She was a control maniac. God bless her.
Uh-huh.
My way. The ruler. So what I'm getting at is that, do you feel that you have issues with codependency? Where you're taking care of, you're going into another person's life to fix them.
Yeah.
It's a fixing. Yeah? I see that you were trying to repair your mother, that she was so out there with her venom that you wanted to, I see you kind of going over to try and tidy her up. Like, you know, why don't we do it this way? How about you think about it this way? What about this way? Not necessarily that you even went near her with it, but I think she had you in training. That you started in your head and your heart, like, how can I fix her? I feel so helpless. This is destruction, and maybe if we only just could sit down and talk, she would change. There was a lot of focus on her. I don't know how much healing you've done on yourself with regard to her, but she did this so you could pull away and take care of yourself. We play victim and victimizer, so she chose to victimize you, and you asked to be victimized before coming into this lifetime in order for you to have the opportunity to not truly take on the victim role. A true victim would then possibly even get an agreement with the victimizer. Oh, yes, I'm a piece of crap. You're right. Everything you've said and done, that's right, because I'm a piece of. Mm-hmm. And then after you've taken that on and you fully accepted it, then you might even go over and make nice to your victimizer. They call that Stockholm syndrome. That's something you could look up. I don't think you have it, but it's an interesting psychological phenomenon that some people actually go, they experience it. They become one with this Stockholm syndrome phenomenon, and they have great difficulty getting out of their state of trauma. So she did this to you to envelop you with a zing, so you would then, whether it's pity or have compassion and empathy, and go outside of yourself to then be able to pull yourself back to be your best friend, disregard and shed the illusions that she gave you, the lies about whether it's you, others, concepts that were not balanced and based in reality. So you could go about your business with a better understanding of who you are. Does that make sense?
This is beautiful. Very well needed.
I'm glad. Now, your dad, let's see about dad. What's his name?
His name is Richard.
Okay, I'm going to go in.
He went by Dick.
He went by Dick. Okay, fine. So let's go in. Let's see. You know, he says to me, yeah, I married a monster. Yeah. So on the surface, it feels like he went along with some of this, but inside he cried, that he knew that there was so much confusion and that he wanted to do something, but I don't feel that he was able to do it. He tried, but I don't feel that he could actually go there because she was unraveling. She was tied up like a knot or a bobbin, and then she'd like unravel, bam, and that he would try, but then he gave up. Does that sound right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so his theme, if we'll call it even a theme, is that of like impotence. He felt impotent, that he couldn't control her, he couldn't protect you. So you brought him in for him to be there, like, save me, Dad, but he couldn't save you. So you have karma between the two of you. He hurt you in several lifetimes, and in this lifetime he was gonna try and balance this by being there to take care of, but he found he wasn't able to. Let's get rid of karma at your end with him, because if he hurt you and there was karma to be balanced, you might have had unforgiveness towards him or yourself. So we're going to take the other lifetime where there's imbalance, where there's karmic imbalance, you say with your dad, with Dick, and you say inside, I forgive myself. And do you have any water by you, a glass of water or bottled water?
Yes, I do.
Have a sip. Forgive him. Ask for his forgiveness. Thank God for this life lesson. That's cool. Cherokee Indian. He was a Cherokee. And you were a boy. That's what that lifetime was that you just released. So that's going to help. So he gave you the opportunity to forgive him for not being there for you in the way that you needed him to be a protective dad. Like, get her off of me. You know, this is nonsense. Dad, shut her up, or control her, or something. You know, hey, Dad, where are you? And he had difficulty. So he's working on that. You know, he's home. He's fine. He's great. He's doing fine. But he's working on that issue of how you treat people and what people say and how you intervene, things like that. So your opportunity is to, it's about, with him, it's like, you know, I think it's a matter of having compassion, empathy, getting into that confused state in the house that you grew up in, and helping to understand that he could only do so much and he couldn't fully do what he had hoped to do. His hope was that he would be able to tame her or speak up and really say enough of this and lay down the line and say, I'm going to protect my kids. Or even in some cases, sometimes they divorce and say, if you're at the kids, I'm going to get custody of them and I'm going to call this abuse. I don't know what level it was at, but I'm just saying in certain cases, that's what a father would do if things got that bad. And so your job really is to forgive. It's to, with the hopes he would have protected, and if he didn't, if there's disappointment and possible unforgiveness, it's to forgive your dad in this lifetime and wish him well, that he's doing good healing work over there. And then when you ultimately go home, you'll see him and you'll have a great talk.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I hope that this helped.
Oh, you have no idea. I'm very, very excited. Thank you so much for this.
Oh, I'm so glad. You're welcome. It's an honor. So between now and when you go to sleep, sip water because you released some of this karmic negative energy, the unforgiveness, and that Cherokee lifetime. And it'll help just flush those energies through the physical body. And have a good night.
Thanks, Joni.
You're welcome. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Donna, thank you for being so brave calling in and letting everyone have the benefit of that reading. Thank you very, very much.
You're very welcome, Michelle.
Hopefully I'll see you soon. We'll catch up.
Yeah, I'll call you. I'll call you tomorrow.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay, take care.
Thanks.
Okay. So, Joni, just there's a couple people who have just joined the call.
Yeah.
Can you just give us a little encapsulation of what happened in that reading there? And just because everyone's reading, you know, is for, I mean, each person's reading is for everybody. So mm-hmm. Can you just extract the...
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, Donna called and she asked what her life lesson, her general life lesson was for this incarnation. So if people aren't aware, before we come into a lifetime, we meet with members of our soul group. Who's the soul group? These are souls that we travel with in different lifetimes for different incarnations, not just on Earth, but there are many other places outside of Earth where we have experiences. So we'll have a pre-birth planning session, and there'll be spirit guides and angels and ascended masters and archangels and consciousnesses, et cetera, et cetera. And we all are aware of each other's life experiences, incarnations everywhere. So there's a big review, and then there's also karma that's taken into account, things that need to be balanced, things where there's unforgiveness towards self and or other. And then we play parts of who's going to be the mom and dad and what we're going to look like, and are we going to have siblings, where we're going to be born, when we're going to be born, and et cetera, et cetera. And so one of the things that we do plan is what our life lessons are. There's like a bucket list. And we also make these contracts with other souls. Okay, well, we're going to get together and this is what we're going to work on. I'm going to do this with you for the opportunity to learn blah, blah, blah. And it's more than one thing. And then the other soul is going to say the same thing. And you've got these soul contracts. Then you get born and you don't remember. There's this veil that's over you. We'll call it the veil of unknowing or the veil of forgetfulness. And that's kind of the plan, is that we don't remember in order for us to kind of do this on a third dimensional level. It's kind of like going a little bit blind and deaf. Kind of like if you want to quote Tommy from The Who, you know, the dumb and blind boy. I mean, you really come down into a lifetime with a lot of information that's lacking. So we've got spirit guides that guide us. And also, and I feel like there's an echo. I'm not sure whether someone's listening, but their radio is on, so they might want to move away from their speaker. Not sure. And then we go ahead and we go through our life, and we hope that with the interactions with our fellow soul group members that we experience what we want to experience and that we attain our goals. Now, if we don't, there's no punishment. That is my belief, that when we return home upon our passing, they don't say, oh, you don't pass go, you don't collect $200. It's, oh, well, what did you learn? And there's always something that a soul learns, even if you don't achieve your goals. And then there's a lot of healing work that's done in workshops and councils and quorums, and it's just the greatest over there. And then you, at some point you might be coming back. How's that? I think that's an encapsulation. Michelle?
Sorry, I mistakenly muted myself when I was unmuting, when I was muting someone else.
Oh,
so,
gotcha.
I'm sorry, but no, that was awesome. That was really good. So we
gotcha.
Have a couple, few people on the line right here, and I just want to let everyone know, remind you that when you are receiving this gift from Joni, that whatever questions or issues or concerns or things that you want to figure out or get guidance on that you receive are for everyone, and that they apply in some way to everybody. That's why we're all here together tonight. So even if you're re-listening to this, same thing. So I just want to let everyone know, because there's some new people on the line, that if you would like to receive a gift of healing and guidance from Joni, you must press *2 to raise your hand. I will see your hand raised. I won't say your name unless, if you want to share your name, that's fine. But I will say where you're from if I can see it, and if in the last 4 digits of your phone number. So if you would like to receive this gift of healing from Joni right now, as Donna so courageously did, please press *2 to raise your hand, and I will call on you. Otherwise, I cannot call on you, okay?
We have listeners, but we don't have folks seeking reading.
Oh, no, here we go.
There we go.
Okay. All right. So from North Conway, New Hampshire, the last 4 digits of your phone number are 5037. You are on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I might sound like Michelle because I'm her sister.
What
is your name?
Ginger.
What can I do?
Well, I guess like Donna, I have a very similar question, you know. I guess, you know, well, I don't know her exact question, but I think she was asking, you know, what were her life lessons in this lifetime?
Mm-hmm. I'll find out for you.
Okay.
I'm going in. Let's see. There are different lifetimes where you went astray. You went off track. This is to clean up your act. This is to get everything in order. This is to really sit down with yourself and say, who am I, what do I want, and get it right. This is to really hard lessons here in this lifetime. Has it been quite difficult?
Yes.
Yeah, this is for you to get things all straight. This is to really make decisions that are for you, that are for your best, in your best interest. And that it's been very, very difficult for you. It's like people have been trying to lasso you in to say things, but you haven't been listening. You're a hard nut. Do you feel that?
Maybe.
Okay. So your job is to get really real with yourself and almost wave the surrender flag, wave the white flag and say, like, I surrender.
Like
and to... Pardon?
I guess I don't know what you mean by tough nut.
Take more suggestions. Listen to more people.
Okay.
Listen to more people that you might be doing it your way, but there are some suggestions that are coming your way that are really worth listening to. And that you've been doing it your way, but it doesn't seem to be working. And so with these other lifetimes where you went astray, you went off track, this one was to try and get yourself better grounded, to listen, to see signs from the universe, to make up your mind more. Do you feel that you keep things up in the air like juggling balls, but you don't make a decision?
Not necessarily.
Okay. So if there are things that are out of whack or that aren't concretized, where they're not settled, you could write out a list of the things that you haven't made decisions on and make mm-hmm. decisions.
Okay.
That, do you, like, I get signs, I see things, that's, I get the divine messages in different ways. Do people pull you away from center, or do you pull yourself away from center?
Well, I've had a lot of kids and working. So
it's life.
I've been very busy.
Life has pulled you away from center,
mm-hmm.
right? So with that's a big challenge, and so that's pretty neat. So if we look at that as a blessing, right, mm-hmm. we can go to that, poor me, I'm a victim, with the kids and job, like I'm just all over the place or not grounded or whatever. But we can also say, boy, am I a brave soul. Look what I did. I set something up where I had all these kids and a job, and now I'm going to try and find balance.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a young soul, honey. Young souls can't do it like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you are working on trying to, like, it's almost like boring through a mountain with one of those drills, like to try and make a tunnel. Like, you've got this hard rock, but you've got the drill, that's you, but you've got this hard rock, which are the kids and the job, and you're just going to keep plugging at it because it's your mountain. It's your story, and you want to bore right through that because there's gold in there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give up. They say perseverance is key. And keep your eyes on the prize. So important to take a look at what you do want and see whether you're taking steps towards that. I don't know if you are or if you've given up, and that might be where you've gone astray again, where you might have forgotten what your goals are. So with that, if you have those life challenges, the kids and job, and you've maybe forgotten, sit down with yourself when you have time and write a list of what you want in your life.
Mm-hmm.
See what's realistic and see if they're attainable goals. And then take steps towards each one. Now, you either do it one at a time, or you do each one at the same time with the baby steps with each, and you see, like, you know, like a race, a horse race, and then they all mm-hmm. start jockeying for position. Maybe you work on one, and a little other, another one starts flying ahead, another one moves back, and then that one, however you want to do it. It's about getting on track in this lifetime and not drifting.
Okay.
Focusing, taking things seriously, and listening to other people. Does that okay. make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And do you like yourself?
Yes.
Good.
I think so.
Good. Very, very important to be your best friend. That's very, very important. Support yourself. You might have other people supporting you, which is great. But you need to support yourself first.
Okay.
And that's what they say.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. And good luck to you with your goals.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Bye.
Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that. That means a lot to everybody.
I'm glad you did.
Thank you. Okay. All right, everybody. It's a good night. Woo-wee. Okay, we have another person with their hand up. You on my screen, because I sometimes can see people where you're from and your number and everything. But this one particular person, I have no idea who you are, where you're from, or what your number is. It says anonymous, but you are the only one left with your hand up. So you haven't spoken yet. So you know it's you, and you are on the air. Hello.
Hey, Michelle, it's Mindy.
Hey, Min, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, my God, I miss you.
I miss you, too. But I'm doing it on my own.
That's good. I knew that you would anyway, and that's awesome.
How can I assist?
I was estranged from my older child for 15 years.
Okay.
and I've worked really hard to reestablish a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, but it's not enough.
Not enough meaning that it's not good enough to not be with him.
Jill knows this, so I'm comfortable sharing it with her.
Mm-hmm.
And Michelle's sister, who you just spoke to, also knows this.
Mm-hmm.
How do I get this adult who left me as a child to really be in my life again?
At what age did he leave?
18.
And you have not spoken with him?
I didn't speak with him for 15 years. He's been back for 2. He's going to be 35 tomorrow.
So you are or you aren't in touch?
We are. But
it's you don't
so
see him.
Limited.
Limited. And is he in the same state?
No. I live in New Hampshire. He lives in Colorado.
Okay, I'm going to go in, and I'm going to see if there was a pre-birth plan for this or whether this happened after both of you were incarnated. Let me just see here. And what's his name?
Clay.
Clay. Okay, I'm going in. Okay, so here we go. I had shared earlier in the call about our playing, I think I did, about playing victimizer and victim. Well, we do this. We come into different lifetimes and we play parts so we can learn. So I'm gonna say it fast because we're going to get through this. So you hurt him in another lifetime, okay?
Really?
You killed him.
Okay,
we've done this. We have all done this in different lifetimes. And it's something to do with his vocal cords. I think you slashed his throat. Do you have any water by you, a glass of water? Because we're going to get rid of this crap.
Yeah, I've got a glass of wine, actually.
No, that won't work, honey. That'll take you into, like, depression land, stupor, and nonsense. That won't work. So there's no water around?
Well, I've got a faucet close to me.
Yeah, can you just put a cup or, you know, or just have a sip?
Reggie.
We'll follow you. We'll follow you into the bathroom, honey, if we have to, okay? Because this is big.
All right, I just took a sip.
Good, good, good. Good. This is called karmic debt. Did you ever hear of that?
Yes.
This is karmic debt. You slashed his throat, so in this lifetime, he's not going to talk to you anymore. Now, even though he's doing it, it's the throat. I'm not going to talk to you. It's a little metaphorical here, right?
Right.
So let's get rid of the karma. So before you came into this lifetime, there's a lot of venom. He's so upset, and you're very sad. You have guilt and remorse. Have another sip of water. And he's very, very angry. He's like, okay. Can I curse Michelle on this show?
You can with me.
And is Michelle allowing?
Yes, Michelle is allowing, absolutely.
Okay, so he's like, fuck this. The whole thing, it's one big F. Fuck it all, and I'm so done. But you're like, you know what, but I can't handle this. So the two of you have this big discussion regarding this lifetime. And so you set it up, and it's like a war. It just feels very sad. There's just a lot of sadness, and then he's like, ah, and he's done. And so this is a get back. Let's get rid of the karma. The way that we do this, the way we get rid of the negative karma, is you say inside first, I forgive myself. Wow. Have you had bleeding disorders, or do you have runny noses or something with bleeding, rectal bleeding or bad periods or that you had or something?
No, my dad
bleeding?
Had blood disorders.
No blood stuff.
Not with me, but my dad did.
No. Okay, because I'm seeing you.
To.
So this is, if it were to happen in the future, I don't see it happening because we're getting rid of this. So this is good. The next part, forgive him. There we go. Hallelujah. Oh, my gosh. ask for his forgiveness. You just say, please forgive me because I had unforgiveness towards you. Yeah. Thank God for this life lesson. Yeah. Mm. After this call, wash your hands, soap and water. Now, okay. When we slit a throat, maybe they're bloody, ugh, right? So there's energy there on your hands. Do your hands itch? What's your hands saying? Yeah?
They do. In the winter, dry skin.
Yeah. This is because of the guilt, and this is the blood, right? So you go to the sink of your – you go to a sink in your home that makes you feel very happy and peaceful. Do you have a bathroom that's beautiful, like nice soap or pretty mirror or nice counter or all of the above?
I have a kitchen that I love.
That's the one, then.
And I have a beautiful bar of soap that when I want to smell pretty hands, I wash my hands with it.
Thank you. After the show, you go over peaceful, peaceful, and you open up your heart and you just run the water nice, whatever, warm, tepid, it doesn't matter, just don't do cold. And then use the soap and imagine that, like the sins of the fathers, that type of a thing, that you're washing your hands across all time and space of what you've done and that you can incorporate him into it. You know, I'm thinking of you, honey, anything that I've done in this life, in that life, in any others, if you want to get really funky, have it be with all souls. That your own, my ear is ringing, which means truth, and you're clearing the energy of your hands with anything where your hands might have done anything. You could have picked someone's pocket or slapped them or given them the bird, whatever it is, right? And then you just dry them and you go about your business. Okay, so now I'm going to go into this a little bit more with him. He is solemn and he has regrets and there are things that he would like to say. You can pray on it. I don't see you're trying to get it out of him. I think that this is something that will happen in time. The fact that you release the karma is gorgeous. It's really, really good. You freed up energy for him to be able to speak. Oh. If you slit a throat and there are vocal cords involved, it affects the throat chakra, which is the energy center at the throat, which deals with expression, which has to do with speaking your truth and all that you want to get out. You did the forgiveness work, and he loves this. His higher self is so happy. I believe in time, it could be anywhere for a month to a year, there might be something that's said. He might suggest something or say something that's like a little token, something that's a remark that's kind of nice. I wouldn't expect major things necessarily in this lifetime. He has his own stuff. I think he's marked. Yep. Do you feel like he's marching to the beat of a different drummer? Like sometimes you say, is that really the son that I gave birth to?
No, I would agree with that. That's a fair statement.
Yeah, it's like, you know, sometimes parents might say, you know, we're not really a match. You know, I can't really identify with the soul, but that's okay. Doesn't mean we have to. We have to accept that a soul is a conglomerate of all of their other lifetime experiences. They're just a different, like a melange of experiences. So you accepting who he is, accepting where you and he are today, each day, is the most important thing. The past is done. And you don't know what the future will hold. So to worry about whether this will be the way it is for the rest of your life, I wouldn't even go there because you don't even know what's going to happen the next second. So I believe prayer is good for you. And visualize what you would like in terms of a relationship with him. Would you want to speak with him weekly? Would you want to see him once a year? You can put that out there to the universe. As Michelle had said with, I think it was Donna, be specific with the universe what you would like. So you can do that. Now, if things don't happen, it means it wasn't for both of your highest good, and that's fine. When both of you respectively pass and go back home, there's interaction, there's talk, there's a lot of talk. I see a lot of chatting that the two of you will have. And I don't see anything menacing. I see there's compassion and caring and a lot of discussion. Because when you give birth to a soul and then they move away from you, you're like what he did, he, on an energetic level, he's separating himself from the soul that brought him into the world, into this life. That's painful. Even if he doesn't show it, that's something that would be discussed upon, you know, when you return home. Like, boy, was that tough. I was all the way in, what did you say, Colorado?
Right.
I went all the way to friggin' Colorado. Oh, my God, that was tough. He might not say it here. He might not even feel it. But on an energy level, that's not fun. And that's not rocket science. Anyone could imagine.
I don't think he's had a good life. I really don't.
He. It's a different, when I go into his energy, it's a different experience. It doesn't, it's not, it's definitely not cookie cutter, you know, it's not a cookie cutter story. It's outside of the box. It's not your average story.
No.
But he wanted this. He wanted it to be different, and he wasn't going to do it your way. He was going to go far away, and it was to, quote-unquote, teach you a lesson, and that this is not, you know, when you get off the call, my hope for you, my prayer for you is you don't start blaming yourself for what you did elsewhere and go, oh, shit, I shouldn't have killed him. It's not like that because you planned that in another life. That was a
plan. No, and
we do these things for soul growth opportunity. Say that again, please.
I really don't do that. I know I was a good mom. I know I did the best I could.
No, I mean about the other lifetime. I don't mean this lifetime.
Oh, no, I've already given that up.
I mean about regrets about, oh, shoot, she told me I did that crap elsewhere. I shouldn't have done it. The shoulda, woulda, couldas have no place. They don't even resonate.
No, I already gave that up, so I'm fine.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
So, Mindy, do you want to ask anything else?
What are you referring to?
I think there's a wink, wink, wink.
I'm just wondering if you want to ask anything else, like why someone else was in your life and how there was an interplay there. Just, you know, just curious.
Are you talking about Tom?
Yes.
Okay.
Because the only reason why I bring this up is because it's such a huge, like, he was such a huge force, and Mindy has been through so much adversity, like, ridiculousness.
Okay.
Okay.
Go
there
ahead.
I go.
There you go.
How did Clay's father and I connect? I mean, what's going on there? I mean, the guy's a creep.
Are you with him?
No, we've been divorced.
Alive?
Yes, he is. He's in prison.
So you're wondering how the two of you ended up together. Like, what was that plan?
Mm.
Is that where you're going, Michelle?
Well, I don't know. I'm just wondering if you're, because it's
curious.
Just kind of a, yeah, like, what was his role in your life? Because it was such, it's almost, Joni, it's like a caricature. I mean, it's so extreme that you would not even believe what she's gone through.
And I've got two children, and my younger child is so devoted to me and wants nothing to do with his father.
Okay, so, listen to this one. Here's a good one. Are you ready? Listen to this one. You and Tom in another lifetime were part of a posse. This feels like it's out west. And there was this rage thing that would go on. I see a saloon, and there's rootin', tootin', shootin'. I think you might have killed someone. He got hung, and you got lost in some crowd, and you left. Have a sip of water, honey. Rootin', tootin', cowboy.
I'm walking over to have my water.
Yep, you go do that. As the listeners might be like, yeah, Joni's all about killing. She doesn't think there's anything wrong with it. So I think I'm just going to interject. So people understand, I'm not minimizing cruelty or killing or any of that. I'm looking at it from a spiritual perspective. And this has to do with pre-birth planning. This has nothing to do with third dimensional defying the law and anarchy. We're having a spiritual discussion. So to go back, so in this lifetime, the two of you are together. But, well, excuse me, you're in a pre-birth planning session, and it's really interesting because you wanted to get away. You've somehow been able to get away, and he gets caught. He gets lost in things, and then things tumble around him. He's having difficulty being straight. He's having difficulty doing the right thing. You in different lifetimes have played both light and dark, but there's the honest person where you know what you've done, and you try and make amends. And so you with your son, you agreed. It's like, you know what, I'm going to pay a price for what I did with you elsewhere. Whereas with Tom, it's very, very difficult. It would be succumbing for him to agree to take the blame, for him to take responsibility for something. Very, very difficult for him to go there. So you choose to have this lifetime where the two of you are going to, like, almost like posse up again, but you are not going to get caught up in a charade, and that he doesn't mind as much. He has a lot of difficulty pulling out of disaster, and he gets himself in trouble, and your job is not to say, I told you so.
Oh, uh-oh.
That's a big thing that you're not to do, because if you do that, you're incurring karma, and that you will then have to do with him again. So let's take this lifetime, that lifetime, and any others where there's karma with him, and we ball them all up, and you say inside, I forgive myself. Wow. You have a lot of sadness. Forgive him. You are. Ask for his forgiveness. Thank
wow.
God. His life lessons, there are about 10. There are 10 biggies. Mm-hmm. And have another sip of water. Does milk curdle in your stomach? Do you have a lactose intolerance?
No.
It doesn't feel so great to me, so it would be interesting. If you stopped dairy or if you cut down, you'd feel better.
Mm.
You might have a sensitivity. I think you had an ulcer in another lifetime. You were a beer drinker, and you drank milk to kind of settle it, but it wasn't working, and I see you burpy and crummy energy, and so I do see a sensitivity to dairy. But I'm not a doctor. Please see your healthcare professional. This is for entertainment purposes only.
No, I can't eat a lot of dairy, but I do like it.
Yeah, that could be what I'm picking up.
Oh, that's fascinating. Fascinating.
Mindy, that was good.
I hope this filled in some of the holes, honey pie.
Michelle, don't you think it did?
Yeah, absolutely. Are you kidding me? I'm trying to suppress my reaction. Absolutely.
I love
Michelle
being able to do this where I can fill in the gaps. People don't feel that they're just a helpless victim in a hell planet. There's a reason for everything.
Joni, I have to say with the women who have been on this call tonight that they are all very, very strong, very much doers and make things happen. And there is a common thread with all of these readings tonight. Really awesome. Yeah.
Getting so glad
feedback here too from people who are listening.
So between now and when you go to sleep, sip water. Your head might feel a little tingly. I think they're going to be working on you. If you feel tingly, woo! Tell Michelle, and then, you know, maybe she'll fill us in the next month.
Well, I mean, you know what? We always welcome the feedback. So if you message me or email, well, I don't like email, but message me or text me or something. I do want to bring it to the next show because it does, and even if you just visit to give Joni some feedback on the next month, any one of you, it's supremely helpful to her because it gives her validation. But, you know, as I listen to this, knowing the three callers who came in, it's just like, whoa. So
it's fascinating.
Yeah, it is.
I'm so glad.
And I love this stuff. I truly love it.
Oh.
I'm so glad you finally called. I'm so glad, Ginger and Mindy, you girls finally called in. You were able to do it. And really good. Wow. Served a lot of people with your calls, for sure. Donna, all of you.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you so much. This
was you're welcome, honey pie. Have a good hand wash.
Thank you.
Bye, Min.
Bye.
Bye, Michelle.
Okay, everybody, we are going to wind down here for the last few minutes, and I do want to, give Joni her due diligence in the way that she is giving this from her heart because she believes and loves in what she does, and she would like your support. So if you would like more service from her, I encourage you to go to Joni. Joni's White Light Healing, is that
right?
That's your website? Yep. And she can do remote healings, as you well know, right? We're on the web right now, and she's doing
right.
Them.
You could do Skype with me or phone. If you're in central New Jersey, if you want to come to my home, please do. Just contact me through the website. And I'm on Facebook. You can friend me. It's Joni Isinger, E-I-S-I-N-G-E-R. Just tell me how you found me. And I also have a Joni's White Light Healing fan page on Facebook, too.
So tonight was super powerful, super amazing, super courageous. And so everyone who participated tonight, thank you so much, because it truly served the greater good, especially with that, what's gone on with the Parkland shootings. And I want to share this right now because I do have this platform that I can, because it's mine and I pay for it. We're not on public radio, but we do get to share this. Is that, you know, everyone's calling for gun control. And there have been things that have been done on mental health checks, and things take a long time and all of that. But I don't align myself with any political party, but I did have a conversation with a client of mine the other day. And he said, let's look at what happened. I just want you to think about this, because we have to think about our own lives and what's happening within the context of where we exist. But sometimes we're blind to where we exist in the greater realm of things. And he said, what's different here is our children are killing each other in the schools. They're killing each other. They're not going to rob banks. You know, they're not going to steal drugs. They're killing their classmates and their teachers, which is essentially part of their family. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is not to say there shouldn't be gun control or anything like that. It's to say, what's going on? How do we need to look at this in a different way? Why is that happening? So I ask you to ask those questions to the universe so we can get our own answers, because we have our own struggles. And all of you who called in tonight, and those of you who listen to the replay or are just listening right now, you know, you're proactive. You're doing something to make sure that you don't stay in a spot where you're so frustrated that you feel like you're isolated and need to fight back in a way that's deadly. So why are these kids doing this? What's happening? What are we missing? Because it's unique. It didn't happen before 1999 like this. In 1999 was the first Columbine. It was the shooting at Columbine. So what's going on? You know, what's that unrest that when we take responsibility for ourselves and we do the work like you all are doing here tonight, you know, what can we pass on to them? Even just praying for them or thinking about them or sending them light or reaching out to someone intuitively without preaching, but just showing that you care. You know, I have this grave feeling of isolation for these people who are going through this thing, doing what they're doing. It's a unique time in our country's history. It's unique to us. So Joni, sorry to get so heavy on you like that, but
hey, honey pie, and I want to thank you very much for having me. I love you.
Love you too. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for tonight. And next month we have another call. I'll be posting on the website by tomorrow morning. So you can follow up and give us some feedback on what kind of stuff has happened to you in this past month with Joni's guidance. Thank you so much.